Heavenly Father, as we have sung your praises, so too may we open our hearts and minds to learn to listen and most importantly to apply your word today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As a preacher, if I define myself as that, I love when an illustration falls into my lap. And in fact, I changed the opening part of my sermon because I just couldn't resist using this illustration. Now, if you know me well enough at this stage, you will know that illustration probably evolves around sport, you're right, and it probably involves around either football or rugby, and I have to say you're right. Yesterday was a momentous day, and before I share the story, let me kind of set up the context. Ireland played South Africa yesterday in rugby. Now, they had about 13 of what you might call their regulars missing, injured, not playing. There was a lot of younger guys playing on the team, so hopes weren't very high. Also, Ireland had never beaten South Africa in South Africa. 100 or more years of playing matches, and they had never actually won in South Africa. So you kind of get the picture. It was going to be a tough day for them. The match started brilliantly. Ireland scored a penalty. Then they scored a try. And they were leading 10 points to 3 after 20 minutes. They were in control. Everything was looking good. If you were watching the match or if you've read the reports, you'll know that things went wrong in about the 22nd minute. There was a guy called CJ Stander, who actually was from South Africa, had become resident in Ireland after 3 years playing with Munster, has become one of Ireland's key players, was playing in front of his parents for the first time in an Irish shirt when they were singing the anthem going down the line, shoulder to shoulder. The tears were in his eyes. And in the 22nd minute, he went up to block a ball and he hit a guy with his hip. He jumped so high and he knocked the guy clean out, and the referee, red card. Sent off. Devastating for him, of course. Devastating for Ireland. It was only going to go one way. And after a couple of minutes, South Africa scored a try. And of course, the most pessimistic of fans went, that's it. Game over. And then Ireland temporarily went down to 13 men. Things were looking tight. But at half-time, we were pleased. 13 all, we were still in the game. And at the end of the match, miracle upon miracles, Ireland had won. 26 points to 20. They had held their own. They had fought like men possessed. They had won the match. First time ever that they had won in South Africa. And indeed yesterday, the under-20s team, first time they'd ever beaten a New Zealand team. So an historic day for Irish rugby. But when Rory Best was interviewed after the match, when Joe Smith, the coach, was interviewed after the match, and various other players, they talked about sticking to their game plan. They talked about the courage and the resolve that they had showed as a team together. They talked about how they'd stuck together, how they had battled together, how they had helped each other out, how they had won as a team, how they had been there for one another. And so the illustration and the image that I want to begin with today is that sense of being together, that sense of working together, that sense of helping each other in a difficult moment. Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series that will take us through what are called the one another passages in the Bible. There's about 59 passages covering a couple of dozen one another passages. We looked last week, for example, at the words of Jesus when he tells us to love one another. And he's talking about the love that church communities, that the people of God, people of the light should have for each other. Sacrificial love, non-judgmental love, serving love. And the aim of all of this is to encourage the church community to be built up and to live as a strong community together. Well, this week, as I'm sure you've already worked out, we're going to move on to the second one another passage. Did you notice it at the end on the weekly sheet? I've put it in bold. Please do follow along. And the passage that we're going to look at comes at the very end of the passage. In this instance, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, which is in northern Greece. He is encouraging them and reminding them that they are people of the light. They are people of hope. They are people who have something to hold on to. And then at the end of the passage, Paul writes these words, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Encourage, build up, just as you are doing. And Paul actually, in a number of other places, reiterates this. He writes to a young minister called Titus, and he encourages Titus as he leads God's people to encourage each other, and especially encourage each other in sound doctrine. In Hebrews, Paul calls the church to be consistent, to be a consistent part of each other's lives, and to encourage one another daily. In Hebrews 10, that same book, Paul reminds the church that the core purpose of the church as they meet together is mutual encouragement. So the first message that we get for the day is that in the church, the people of God, when they meet and journey together, they are to encourage one another. And after all, if you can't find love or encouragement within a church community, where can you find it, I would ask us. But when the Bible calls us to encourage one another, it's important that we start to think about what that looks like. And the very first way that we can encourage each other is in the practical use of words. How much it means when someone comes up to us and says, "You're looking well today." How much it can encourage us when someone says, "I'm thinking about you," or "Have a nice day," "Take care of yourself, things will get better." So on one level, the use of words can be a great encouragement in the church and the body of Christ. But when Paul talks about encouraging one another, he actually is going much deeper than that. As I said last week, I'm not a Greek scholar. Don't even pretend to be a Greek scholar. I gave it up in the training college as soon as I could after the first term. I'm not great on languages. But thankfully, there are others that help understand the original language. And apparently, the original language, Greek, in the New Testament, the picture that it gives is not just encouraging in words. The Greek word the Bible uses for encourage means to come alongside of. It means to stand with. Today's a day for sporting illustrations. The Olympics happen a little bit later on in the summer in Rio. But going back to 1992, I think that was the Barcelona Olympics, the 400 metre race is about to start. There's an English or a British athlete called Derek Redmond taking part. He's one of the favourites to win one of the medals. 65,000 people are in the stadium there. And the starter's gun goes. And off Derek runs. 200 odd metres and he is in the lead. The final is beckoning. And in a moment, his hamstring tears and down he goes. The other competitors run past him. And in the stands that day is his dad called Jim. And Jim, in a moment of spontaneity, runs towards his son. He evades security, he jumps the advertising hoardings, and he heads out across the track. At this stage, his son has picked himself up and he's hobbling along. And his dad gets him at about the 100 metre mark. And father puts his arm around son, and son puts his arm around father. And to great applause in the stadium, and people are going mad at this stage, they slowly make their way down the 100 metre straight. And with a few metres to go, dad lets go of son Derek, and he hobbles those last few metres to the end of the race. It's long been won by someone else, but at least he has finished the race. And I suppose drawing on that illustration, when we think about encouragement, it is that sense of helping each other, that sense of standing alongside each other until we are ready to go on our own again, that I want us to engage with. And it's interesting because Jesus uses that very same illustration in John's Gospel, or that same word, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God who comes at Pentecost. That Comforter will be the one who comes alongside us, who stands with us, who helps us, who is God's presence with us. So we know what the Bible says, encourage each other. We know what it means, draw alongside each other. But what might that look like in real terms? We hear God's word, we learn from God's word, but we have to apply God's word for it to be relevant and meaningful. Again, drawing from our verse, I use what Paul says as a challenge to us. Encourage one another. But I also use it as an affirmation for many of the things that happen within our church community. Did you notice at the end of that little verse, Paul says, keep doing what you are doing. So as I share some examples and challenge us, I also say, keep doing what you are doing, because I know there is much encouraging one another that goes on quietly within our church and within our communities. So let me give us a couple of scenarios and see how they might help us to encourage one another. Scenario one, a couple have a baby. How do we as a parish respond? Well, on one level, we are delighted. On one level, we congratulate them. But in a deeper act of encouragement, what if as a parish and a group of parishes, we had a little team of folk who said to that young couple, do you know, for the next couple of weeks, don't worry about making dinner. We're going to provide some dinner for you until you find your feet. Or indeed anyone that's been in hospital or home from hospital. How would that encourage those folk? Scenario two, an elderly person lives at home. Age has caught up with them and they can no longer do those small jobs that they once would have done with ease. Again, what would it be like if we had a team of people who offered help, who quietly went in and did those small jobs? How might that encourage someone in our parish? Scenario three, we notice someone hasn't been out in church for a while. And I am not always perhaps good at this, or maybe I need help with this, or can work harder in this. But what if we took time to call in on that person? What if we took time to ring that person, to text that person, and to see if all was okay? How might that encourage someone as part of our church community? Alongside the practical ways of encouragement, we can also draw alongside people spiritually. It's a whole nother level that we, as the people of God, can offer. We can encourage each other by committing to pray for one another. What a powerful thing it is when someone says, I'll be praying for you. I'll be remembering you in my prayers. We can encourage each other through the words of Scripture. Perhaps in a difficult moment, how wonderful it is to hear from the words of Scripture and be encouraged in that way. We can encourage each other by worshipping regularly together as God's people. We can become a better encouragement by asking God to direct us to people who need encouragement. I know from time to time, and perhaps we have felt the same, that sense of maybe God leading me to call into someone or to make contact with someone. And that sense of that person saying, how did you know? Perhaps we need to listen to God as he guides us in a way of encouraging each other. And even in a most practical way, even just to lift our head out of our own lives and to see the needs of those around us and encourage them in whatever way we can. As I finish, the point is that there are so many ways that we can encourage each other through our words, through our deeds, through our actions. And the thing is, the more that we do that, the more that we encourage each other, as I said last week, the more natural that becomes. The more opportunities we will see around us, and the more it will help us all to reach out beyond ourselves and encourage those around us and encourage those in the community where God has placed us. So alongside loving one another, we find that encouraging one another is a vital part of church community. How can we as a church, as God's people in this place, draw alongside, stand with each other, and live out that quality in this church and in this group of parishes? But more importantly, who can we encourage this week? Who might God lead us to encourage this week? Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there are so many ways we can encourage each other, and there are so many needs in this congregation here today, in the lives of those in this parish, in this community, that we can offer encouragement through our words, through our deeds, through our actions, through practical help. Help us as a church community to encourage one another and to especially draw alongside those who are struggling today, to help those get through a difficult moment until they are ready to journey again. Help us to encourage each other, build us up, and help us to keep doing what we are doing. And I pray and share all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.